Good evening, Esther.
Hello.
And thank you for coming on with us tonight. I'm delighted to have you here based on what I've learned from you just today.
Well, thank you.
And why don't you give us a little bit about your background before you go into discussion of that wound, please?
Yes. I've been a registered nurse for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of wounds and burns. And I've seen a lot of skin lesions.
And when did you first become aware of this peculiar wound on your son's foot?
The morning, Friday morning, when Justin shared the story with me, and he showed me his foot. He wanted to know what it was.
And what did you think about it? What
I said,
what
Justin,
your...
it looks like something between eczema or a burn, but it was shaped like a horseshoe, and there was no other rashes on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not sure what it was, because Justin always wears his socks. So I could tell it wasn't, a burn acquired from another object or something. It just was an unusual skin lesion.
And I think Peter and Esther, did they not arrive late? Esther, don't they normally get there at a certain time, or you know the distance, you know how long it takes? And this one was a little different, wasn't it?
Yes, it was very unusual. Justin called me Thursday night about 11:15 p.m. And he said he had gone to Fruitland, Idaho earlier in the day because my sister had bought his car. And she had her truck, so they had to both go back to Fruitland, Idaho. And he had taken some overnight gear so he could spend the night. So when he called me 11:15 and said they had decided to come back to Meridian, I was kind of surprised, and I thought, well, why would you travel that late at night? But, you know, they said they had decided to come back, and it was 11:15. He wanted me to leave the door open and set out some bedding for my sister and her grandkids. And so I did that, and I stay up late, so it was about midnight. They hadn't arrived. So I decided to go to bed, and I said, well, they didn't come. It was silly for them to think they should travel at night like that. So I just had gone to bed and decided that they weren't going to come. So I went to bed about 12:10.
So, and Peter, let's go ahead.
Oh, and then I woke up, just because I do wake up frequently at night. I woke up about 1 o'clock, and I glanced out in the living room, and nobody was there, and I went back to bed. Then I got up closer to 2:30, and I glanced out in the living room, and they were there. And I thought, my gosh, it took them a long time to get here.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it should only take 45 minutes to get from my sister's house to my house. I frequently travel that route, and it's 48 miles between the two cities. And at the most, it should take, with no traffic in that time of night, at the most it would have taken about 50 minutes.
Did they look like they were in shock, Esther?
In the morning?
Yeah.
Yes, they were very very eager to talk to me, and they said, we need to tell you something. And I said, what? And Justin showed me his foot and the burn, and they said they were really shaken up, and they had seen something in the night, and they were very concerned that they felt that their life had been put in danger by the bright light shining in the car. And I said, well, Justin, that's so dangerous. You need to report that, because somebody's shining lights in people's car when they're going 45 miles an hour, that could make you wreck. I said, regardless of what you think it is, you need to either report it to the police or to the aviation board or somebody, because somebody's either flying too low or something is not right for light to, you know, flash it.
All right, and Jay, did you report this?
Yeah, I found a place on the website at UFO Center.
All right, so you reported it to Peter, okay.
Uh-huh.
But not to police or any other law enforcement?
Oh.
Because I would have been curious to see what kind of reaction they would have given you.
Yeah, they around here they're really not interested in that kind of thing, or don't want to hear.
So Peter, what do you think? Is this an abduction case? Is this just missing time? What do you think happened to these people?
Well, I'm hesitant to conjecture on that point, George, because technically speaking, an investigation has not been conducted yet, and that is yet to take place. So I think it would be inappropriate for me to make any kind of statement. But I will say that this is a particularly interesting case, particularly interesting because of the objective information that we have received from Esther with regard to the late arrival of her sister and her son. Because as she's stated here just a moment or two ago, she knows the distance between the two towns, and she's traveled that route many times before, as have both Alma and Jay, and she knows what time they should have arrived, and they didn't. And when this event occurred, they were just on the western end of Meridian. I mean, literally, if I understand things correctly, only a five-minute drive or so, at most, I guess, maybe 10 minutes, from where Jay resides. The question is, why did it apparently take, so much extra time for them to get home? And that's something that has to be investigated in the course of the larger investigation of this case.